Welcome to the Jesus Week Movement radio broadcast, your half-hour deep dive into strategies and stories fueling a nationwide movement of gospel saturation and city transformation. Each week, we talk about bold outreach, creative evangelism, and real-life community impact, but none of that begins without prayer. And today, we begin a two-part series on prayer saturation. Hello, everyone. My name is Mick Richards.
And I'm Pastor David Bidell, and I'm excited to be here with you today. And we love to talk about this. We always say that we have three pillars that are undergirding and supporting all that we do. It's Christ saturation, prayer saturation, and city saturation. And many of you have listened to the broadcast with Reverend David Bryant about Christ saturation, and that is obviously the center and the core of all that we do. But prayer saturation is so critical to the healing of our cities and the healing of our hearts. And without praying for our neighbors and praying for the lost that surround us, it's easy to get isolated even in our own spirits from the needs of our communities, and also to feel a sense of us against them. And that's a very dangerous thing. Whenever the Church of Jesus Christ starts to experience an us against them relationship with their neighbors, the devil's in that. That is not of the Lord, because he loves all. And so we're excited about this opportunity to speak about prayer saturation, because it not only begins a healing work in our communities, but it begins a healing work in our hearts.
And in this part one of Prayer Saturation, we have a very special guest in the studio today, Joanne Turner, and she has definitely been at the center of prayer saturation. She is the prayer coordinator for the Jesus Week New Jersey movement, the executive director of the Caring Network in Newark, and a seasoned leader with roots in prayer movements like Pray for Newark. She's also the wife of the late Lloyd Turner, a spiritual historian and co-founder of Newark's Modern Prayer Movement. We're so excited to have you. Welcome to the show, Joanne.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here. I'm grateful for the opportunity and so encouraged by what it is that's going on and how prayer is indeed a key.
Well, let's start off by getting to know a little bit more about you. Tell us about your journey into citywide intercession and how the Lord led you into this kind of prayer leadership.
First of all, I have to say that as a believer from the time I was in high school, I had a sense that we needed to be praying and praying for the world, of course. I was a nurse and I was working in Newark, and I would come in and out and in and out. And I really kind of looked from side to side at the broken down buildings, and I just went into my parking deck and came right back out. And it really was a call that the Lord provided for both my husband and I to look at the city a little differently. And so in 1967, there was a great deal of chaos in Newark. In 2007, we had heard a prophetic word that the Lord was going to do amazing work of grace in the city, and would we want to be involved? So it was really a personal invitation from the Lord that enabled us to say, okay, 40 years ago, and we had heard a word that it was the time to break 40-year curses. And so, of course, Lord being the mathematician did the math, and 67 was the time for those riots that took place and devastated the city. So as we acknowledged that the Lord was doing a work, we just wanted to be sensitive to the Lord. And we began by asking him, we sort of argued and said, we don't know anybody in Newark. And he said, oh, yes, you do, and reminded us of two people that we did know. As we went to visit these people and as we prayed, the Lord opened the door, and it really was a spirit of adoption that took that attitude that I had about, what is this? This is my job. I'm just going to go to the parking deck and park and do my work in the hospital and then come out and be able to see that the Lord was calling us into ministry in Newark.
Well, that's fascinating as you share this story. I never heard this, Joanne, that you were driving in and out as a nurse. And that's exactly what we're talking about, that I think we have we've adopted that attitude sometimes as the people of God, where we have our safe homes and our safe churches, and even our safe places of work. But there is trouble in our neighborhoods. There's trouble in our cities, and there's trouble about us. But when you started to pray for Newark, when the Lord put a burden on your heart to pray for Newark, what I've seen is that, I guess for the last 30, almost 40 years, you and your husband began to pour your life into Newark. Like, you know, there are very few people that I know that love Newark, that speak about Newark with the love, the tenderness, the heart that I see in both of you. But it began with the Lord calling you to pray. So that's what we're talking about. Until we pray, we won't love as Jesus loves.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's this spirit of abandonment that had taken place in the city, and a spirit of adoption that we had embraced at that point in time. And so that's why the Lord just gave us such a love for the city. So we recognized that the Lord was calling us there. And then he did give us additional words. As we adopt the city, as we adopt the streets and the schools and the businesses and the apartment buildings, mm-hmm. that the spirit of abandonment, that orphan spirit, would be replaced by the spirit of adoption, and that the spirit of sonship would then replace bondage and slavery. And so because we had that specific word from the Lord, we knew that it was the spirit leading us to go and embrace the city. And they, of course, said to us, well, you can't pray for us unless we pray for you. And mm-hmm. so then we began to establish the work with the people who were already praying for the city.
Amen. Amen.
So let's break down prayer saturation for our audience. So we talk about the three pillars: Christ saturation, prayer saturation, city saturation. Let's define this. I'll start with you, Joanne, and then Pastor David, if you can add to that. Let's give our audience a really good definition. What are we talking about when we're talking about prayer saturation?
The Lord had just actually given me three words to share: strategic, systematic, and spirit-led. And so that aspect is that we want to have a prototype, that something that others can see. In New Jersey, we really felt the focus of on one zip code. Now, Jesus Week is very, very zip code focused. When we started Pray for Newark, we were more neighborhoods and the names of the neighborhoods, and we want to see that clarity. And then the county, again, you need to have an acknowledgement that we're part of a region. So when you look at the whole state, there's 21 counties, so we need to have a county or regional focus, and then we need to be systematic in the sense that we're looking both at the personal aspects, the individuals that we're praying for people, and we're also praying systematically about the systems that are going on, the government, the education, and the business communities.
Yeah, all places that need healing, and all places that need the infusion of the Spirit of God and the compassion of Christ. And I had a fascinating, you know, I've spoken about this often, experience with your late husband, Lloyd, who was just precious to me and to all that knew him. It was an incredible encounter. I had written my book, Saturation, A Plan for Gospel Immersion. And again, we were talking about how do we do this with wisdom, really bring the love of Christ in word and deed and in power and spirit to our community. So a friend of mine said, Dave, if you want to see this happen, write down your ideal scene. Write down what the dream that you see for New York City. And so I wrote it down in the book. I thought it was a great idea. He says, write the ideal scene and then write the current scene and how you're going to get there. You know? So this is what I wrote. The dream that we have is that we have a shepherd over every borough in New York City. And then we have a shepherd over all 59 community districts in the city. And those shepherds will basically make sure that every zip code in those districts are cared for, and then every church in those zip codes, and we're landing on 5 to 15 churches in those zip codes, would work together to make sure that the entire zip code is saturated with prayer and care, with the gospel and with love and care. So I wrote that out, and I gave the book to Lloyd, and then he reaches out to me. He says, Dave, great book, but, you know, this has been done before. And I'm like, what are you talking about, Lloyd? You know, so it, I was like a little bit, I felt some type of way. I was like, what do you mean? This is, you know, what do you think? I'm copying something? And so he sent me your book, you know, the book, the Street Adopters Handbook. And I understood what he was saying. And I opened to this passage. It says, in 1855, leaders from New York City's Sunday school unions proposed a plan of systematic visitation. The plan included the following major components. One, divide the entire city, county, or town into distinct districts, each comprising of a definite territory. Request that each church take a district and become responsible for permanent visitation of residences in that district. Three, send the visitors out two by two to the district for the purpose of visiting each household. And four, each visitor is responsible for visiting every family in his or her district at least once a month. So when I read that and I put them next to what I had written, it was the bullet points were almost exactly the same. And it looked like I plagiarized the 1855 document, but I realized, oh Jesus, you're rewriting something. You're opening old wellsprings of revival, because this systematic visitation, and only Lloyd was what you, Lloyd, your husband was one of the only ones who discovered this, that there, that this was the foundation of the 1857 Jeremiah Lamphere Fulton Street revival, that Jeremiah Lamphere was a late onboarder to this systematic visitation, and he started right around the block. Right, we're like three blocks away from the Fulton Street Dutch Reformed Church. He started praying for the neighborhood right around the block. But at the time that he started praying for the neighborhood, there were also 4,000 other prayer visitors praying for, systematically visiting every home in the city. So when he, and then he started a prayer meeting here. So we see how the strategy and prayer have to go hand in hand. And from that prayer meeting, an explosion, a revival just exploded, but it was a revival that God had prepared. Like the whole city was prepared for revival. And when he lit the spark, it's like the whole city lit on fire, because there were churches that were ready to receive those that got saved during the revival. All throughout New York City, there were churches that were already visiting neighbors. So when these businessmen got saved, they had neighborhood parish churches that were already praying for them. So it's known by Edwin Orr calls it the greatest revival in American history, the 1857 Fulton Street revival. And so it's a powerful thing. So we when I saw that, honestly, Joanne, I was so excited. I felt like, God, you're writing the story, and we're part of it. And like you said, we stand on the shoulders of giants in prayer ministry. And it was David Bryant and Mac Pierre who started Concerts of Prayer in the 70s when we were the murder capital of the nation, you know? And God started to bring the murders down. And then it was, and Reverend Pura, who'll be on the next show, began Pray New York in the Bronx, and Pray New York became a movement that covered the city. So, and now we're seeing, okay, the foundation has been laid. Now we can go from prayer saturation to city transformation.
Amen. And just to piggyback on what you were saying with respect to the prayer and being on the shoulder of others, that Fulton Street revival, which of course you described, was on the back of a prayer movement that was happening in Scotland.
Yes, yes.
And so one of the points that Lloyd really emphasized whenever he spoke about that area is that Thomas Chalmers in Glasgow, Scotland, started a wide range of social programs. And after 3 years of government social spending on these programs, it dropped 80% from £1,400, this was in Scotland, to £280 in St. John's Parish. So the social transformation that took place as a result of the situation. The prayer movement really is what we're after when we think about transformation.
Well, to your point, God in the slums, Mac Pierre often quotes God in the slums And he reiterates the same point that when, as they saturated the city in prayer and as they saturated the city in care, it began to heal the social crises in the city. That it was those churches that partnered together for prayer saturation and for community care, for really for visitation, mm-hmm. for actual visitation. We really believe in that, that when Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," it wasn't just this, you know, a parable for us to think about in esoteric terms. It was really literally, let's go to our neighbors and let them know that we're here. This is a community church, that we're part of a community church, so you're part of our church. You're welcome. Let everybody find a welcoming place, and it begins to heal the brokenness of our neighborhoods. It's a powerful thing. So if we can start to be saturated in the Christ, to feel His love, and then be compelled by His love to go to our streets and into the lanes and the highways and the byways, like you said, and pray for our neighbors and then bring tangible care, which we're seeing take place, it starts to heal everything that's broken in our communities.
In the Jesus Week movement, the movement has a 12-month cycle. The first part of the year, we're building teams in zip codes. And the second part of the year, we are preparing to go to battle in our neighborhoods with Jesus Week events all throughout the summer, 7 regions, 7 missional journeys. And right in the middle of that year-long strategy happens to be the month of May. And so we have adopted the month of May in the movement as Prayer Saturation Month. So we're asking all of the churches that are involved with what Jesus Week is doing to dedicate that month strictly to prayer. And we want to put feet to our prayers. We want to get the churches out there to walk the neighborhoods, to pray for the neighborhoods. There are practical steps for prayer walking. You can start with a map. You can pray with awareness. You claim the land. You bless as you walk, and you walk together as a unified movement. And that's what this is all about, building prayer movements, building city movements, and building Christ saturation movements. And so, Joanne, how do we fan the flames and keep a prayer movement burning?
Well, I think that we recognize that prayer needs to be personal, it needs to be corporate, and it needs to be strategic, systematic, and there is also a component of warfare prayer. So we need to know our place. We need to know what it is that we're called to, and we need to partner with others in it. So I would say sign up on the Jesus Week website for your zip code, adopt your zip code, and connect with others that are in your territory, because that's the corporate aspect of Jesus Week. We need to connect with one another.
And anybody can go to the website, JesusWeekMovement.org, and be a part of this movement. All you have to do is sign up to have a creative outreach in your area, and you have access to thousands of free outreach resources. We have a distribution center in Pensauken with literally millions of free resources for churches that would adopt a zip code, that would sign up to have an outreach in their community. And in the month of May, there are so many prayer activities that you can sign up for. You could be prayer walking. You can have Jericho marches, targeted intercession, prayer calls, Zoom gatherings. You can organize community prayer events. There are so many things, and even spirit-led out-of-the-box ideas. We want to remind you, the month of May is Prayer Saturation Month, and we invite all of you to go to the website, sign up, and be a part of what God is doing in this amazing John 17 movement.
And Joanne, you mentioned that it needs to be corporate and personal. And there's we have a fantastic partner in prayer at bless.app. So if you go to bless.app, you can open up an app that enables you to pray for 40 of your neighbors. They'll send you the email with 40 neighbors to pray for. They usually send about 5 a day for you to pray for. And you could start to personally saturate your neighborhood in prayer. And then we're working with Bless App so that every church would get basically a census block or 2 census blocks of homes around them that the church can pray for. And we recommend praying using Acts 1:8 as the template to pray for our neighborhoods. So as you gather corporately, you know, pray for your neighborhoods, you know, but you know, the streets by name, pray for the schools. That's what we say, the Judea, our schools. And then pray for your troubled communities, your Samarias, whether it's public housing, whether it's just a neighbor place in your neighborhood that's really struggling with violence and crime. Pray for those neighborhoods. And finally, the immigrants, the ends of the earth. We need to pray for the ends of the earth, but there are 800 immigrant groups that have already come to our city. So let's pray for those that are from other nations that have come to our shores and pray that they would also experience the love of Jesus Christ in beautiful and tangible ways.
We're just about out of time, but Joanne, do you have one last thing that you want to share with the audience? One last thing that you want the audience to know about prayer saturation?
Oh, just that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. And if we don't know our neighbors, we can't be loving them. And so this Bless app is awesome. Yeah. I have a little bag on my table that has 30 neighbors, and I just pull one out every day. Mm-hmm. And again, that's strategic, systematic, spirit-led. I'll ask the Lord, you want me to call them? You want me to go visit? What do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. And that's the way that we move in prayer saturation. We have to be Christ-saturated. We have to be prayer-saturated. Amen. And then we can saturate our cities.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Joanne. We are so glad that you joined us for this prayer saturation segment. Truly, if we pray for our communities and we pray for our cities, God will do a work beyond our wildest dreams. So don't give up hope. Don't fall into despair. Be the people of prayer in this day and in this time.
Just a reminder, if you want to begin a prayer movement in your neighborhood or church, you can visit JesusWeekMovement.org. You'll find tools, guides, and encouragement to help you map your zip code, mobilize teams, and build prayer saturation from the ground up. This is only part one, so join us next time as we continue this powerful series on prayer saturation and hear how leaders are turning streets into altars and cities into sanctuaries. Together, let's keep praying, keep building, and keep believing for transformation.